If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And also the foolish, the wise, and the simple. You know, if you have a blank sheet of paper, that is what we could consider the simple. There's no information there. The wise would be a blank sheet of paper with squiggles and lines and calculations and pictures and diagrams and all this information. And the foolish would be the ones that roll it up and throw it in the bin without even deciphering it. So there are people who have no knowledge, no understanding. And they are the simple. They're like a sheet of paper with nothing on it. There's nothing wrong with being like that. It's only when you reject knowledge and understanding and wisdom that makes you a fool. So the fools roll up all that information, discard it, throw it in the bin. You know, God speaks to us through visions and through world events, through our daily lives. He speaks into our ear, you know, through that still small voice. And, you know, if we're looking for neon lights every time we want to hear God, we'll miss him because we're not willing to accept the subtle voice of God. God wants us to be able to listen for him and monitor him. And we can only do that through the spiritual realm. If we try to monitor God, all of the bits and pieces through our natural realm, through our natural way of thinking, we will miss God. Because the natural, there are so many different things happening in this world that you could say, oh, this is God. This is not God. And but it takes the spiritual person who's got a spiritual ear, a spiritual eye, the eyes of their understanding being open so that they can see God clearly and his work around them. You know, the Bible says that God's word has gone out to all the earth, being freely visible to everybody. But everybody doesn't actually see God's hand in their life, in other people's lives, and in the workings of this world, because they're not looking through spiritual lenses. Paul talks about when you were first illuminated, when the lights came on, and you were able to see and understand all of the markings, all of the information that's coming to you through this world, right? Because we live in this world, and it is deciphered spiritually. The Bible says also, howbeit we speak spiritual things among those who are spiritual, not the wisdom of this world. Okay, so we speak the wisdom that's spiritual, not the wisdom of this world. Because they think that our wisdom is stupid. If you can't touch, feel, or see it physically, it's no good. But see, we look with spiritual eyes and we discern the natural world around us through spiritual eyes. And if we're not promoting that spiritual aspect in our life, we become dull of hearing and dull of seeing. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, well did Isaiah speak. You know, you see and you can't perceive, you hear and you can't understand. You know, he even spoke to the Pharisees. He said, you can discern the weather with your natural eyes, but you can't see the spiritual happenings that are happening to you right now. The Son of God is standing right in front of you. So the Lord is gathering you from the midst of your brethren, and he's giving you a purpose. He's opening your eyes up so that you can discern the situation. As I said, you know, the Pharisees didn't know that Jesus was standing in front of them. They didn't know that the Son of God was standing in front of them. And he said to them, you can't even discern me. He said, you can discern the weather, whether it's going to rain or not, it's bad weather, but you can't discern spiritual things. I'm standing in front of you. I'm the Messiah, and you can't get it. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, well did Isaiah prophesy that they with their ears can't hear and their eyes can't see. Their spiritual perception was dull. But you've been illuminated, your eyes have been opened up, the eyes of your understanding. And now when you read a piece of paper, you can understand the squiggles and the lines and the calculations and the pictures and the scenery. And God gives you context. So when you start looking at the world around you through spiritual eyes, you see things differently. A natural person sees natural things and perceives naturally and comes to a natural conclusion. But you being spiritual, you see natural things around you and you perceive the spiritual components of that. And you're not like a fool, right, who squiggles up the paper and throws it in the bin, disregarding everything, but you use that information and God is trying to communicate to you information about your surroundings, who you are in Him, and how you're to conduct yourself, and how to get yourself out of ditches and situations and roadblocks if you'll only just take the time to listen. So I go into the churches, I perceive what is happening in that church, I perceive the demonic influence in that church, I understand the hierarchy and where they're drinking from, what muddy old water they're drinking from. And I go home and the Lord starts teaching me all about that experience. And I might have only been to that church one day, 2 days, that's all. I don't stay in churches long, 1 or 2 days, the max. Because I get bored really quick because the juice turns off and the Lord's telling me I don't want you here anymore. So I have no reason to be a seat warmer and I just go home. And then the Lord starts teaching me, starts debriefing me about the situation in that church. The Lord has called me to restoration. There's a ministry coming of restoration of the body of Christ. He said to me that some people can read the time, some people can wind the clock up when it's run down, but not many people know how to restore a broken clock. Not many people know about how the mechanisms work and how to replace certain parts. So the Lord has been over the last 9 or 10 years teaching me how to restore broken churches. He's been teaching me the functionality and He's brought me into all of these different types of churches. And he's given me great access to demons. And I've been working, kicking demons out of people. And the Lord comes and teaches me where I went wrong, how I'm to fix that situation. So I'm becoming more efficient at that. And so I meet individuals who are spirit-filled and I come up against them because they're not fully functioning in the kingdom of God and they have an anointing. So I go back to the Lord and say, how does that work? And He says, well, that individual, he's anointed, but he is captured by certain things which makes him partially ineffective. So He shows me how to fix that up. So that's what the Lord is using me for. I get a lot of individuals who are, they've baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and they're never done anything. They don't have any functioning anointing that we can see. But they are burning inside to get going. So we get them going and they move forward and the anointing starts to manifest in them and they start to see people healed. They start to see their lives fixed up and then other people around them being fixed up through the ministry that God uses them in. So that's what we do. So could you imagine if you lived in, we'll say, Africa and you looked at the overall map of Africa and you zoomed down into an area and you saw a big river and you saw lots and lots of boats going up and down the river. And then you saw little tributaries and you saw that the villages were on the little tributaries and they weren't on the major rivers. And you'd have to understand why are they there because of floodings and all those other stuff. and they're hid back in the jungle, and so there's protection there. So you need to understand all of this stuff so that you could help, be productive in those villagers' lives. You need to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And you need to also have the ability to be taught by God. If you disregard all of God's information he's trying to teach you and throw it in the bin and disregard it as just whatever, you will miss out on a great opportunity. You know, in the Old Testament, you'll find if you go through all the Old Testament prophets and you look for, do a word search, what do you see? It's pretty interesting. I do lots of word searches and study out things. What do you see? So God says to the prophet, what do you see? And he says, I see this. And then God says, this is what it is. So he explains it. So the person tells God what he sees. And he's acknowledging information. And he's showing that he understands. Or he perceives. So God can go another step forward and start to explain. You'll find in Revelations that John saw things and the angels that were around him started to explain the situation. So not everything we see is what it really is. We need that spiritual component to decipher the true information that is coming to us. That's why a lot of the churches are misfiring in their administration and their operation, because they're looking through natural eyes and sometimes partial spiritual eyes. Sometimes they're getting information that is wise, that's been given to them by other churches, because those other churches were able to see with their spiritual eyes. But the church that receives that information, unless they switch over to spiritual vision, they don't understand it. They're not able to fully comprehend the height and the width and the depth of all of these things. And they can't fully function in these things. So getting knowledge from other people, even though it's perfect, true and correct, if you don't apply it through spiritual lens, through the eyes of your understanding, through the spiritual realm, you'll get maybe a false reading, a false understanding. That's why it's important to be spiritually built up. It will give you everything. It will give you access to everything. And you'll be lacking nothing when it comes to knowledge and understanding and wisdom, because God will give it to you because you ask for it. You're capable of receiving it. But if you're not capable of receiving it, like these churches who maybe get CDs of how to run a church, this, that, and the other, and it may be perfect. But if they're not spiritually switched on, they won't be able to accomplish what they've been given, because they're not seeing it through spiritual eyes. And it's distorted. They get a distorted outcome. So as we know, how do you actually get full of God? Well, one of the ways you can is sit down and pray in tongues. You know, reading the Bible will give you revelation of God, will give you knowledge and understanding. But dynamic thinking, okay, so the Word of God is static, it's right there, you understand it, you understand the situation. But we live in a dynamic world, it's not static, it doesn't stay in one place, it's moving all over the place. Every situation is different. So we need the dynamics of the Holy Spirit to stay on track. So the Word of God is powerful and it gives us a great baseline. But really, the Word of God, if you read it, it actually says you need to be dynamic. Okay, so in the Old Testament, they had the law that was static. It said, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. In this new system that Jesus has given us through the Holy Spirit, everything is dynamic. And if we walk in that dynamic realm through the Holy Spirit, the law of sin and death has no power over us. For as I've said many times, The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law which is in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is this Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law is taught to us through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it separates us from a static law of sin and death. We become dynamic. So wherever we go, things change, situations are upgraded, not everything's the same, and we're able to discern the difference between one situation and another. And if we're spiritual, we the Bible says we judge all things because we're spiritually minded. Natural people judge a flat way, black and white. Now God is black and white, but he's black and white in who he is. And his criteria for you. But you need to walk in it dynamically. See, churches, some of them have absolutely some crazy ideas. I met some guys on the street only a couple of days ago, handing out pamphlets. And they said to me, you know, I said, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized and I speak in tongues. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said to me, that's works. I said to them, really? They said, yes. They said, that's works. They said, you've got to believe and then you're saved. I said, yeah, but the word believe means to trust and adhere to and rely upon. So the adhering to is some activity. So it's works. And they just could not get past it. They weren't even spirit-filled. So, you know, how can you speak spiritual things to a non-spirit-filled person? I mean, it's just a waste of time. And these people, well, this particular guy, he had zeal. Man, was he on fire for what he believed in. But Buddhists are on fire for what they believe in. Jehovah Witnesses are on fire for what they believe in. But he wasn't being energized by the Spirit of Truth. He was, he'd been told a certain concept of the Word of God. And he went with that, and he had no spiritual perception of his ditch that he was in. He's telling everybody that you're saved by faith, and if you try and do anything at all, then you're not walking in faith, and therefore you're going to be damned. I don't know how they reconcile that stuff. I mean, there must be a lot of scriptures they don't want to talk about because they undo their theology. But we see that over and over again. It's quite simple. If you go to the Lord through the Holy Spirit moved on men to write down words on a piece of paper called the Bible. We look at the Word of God, we look at that paper, and we become wise because we were simple. We didn't understand. We had no knowledge. We read it and we understand. If we disregard those words that are on the paper, then we become fools. We have the opportunity to be wise, but we become fools. We're the worst of all if we become fools. Now, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God on the paper tells us so, and we become full of God, then we're able to walk dynamically, right? In our walk, because of the Spirit that's in us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death, which is just static. Don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this. So we see a situation where, you know, we can walk dynamically. We can look at people and we can read their hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we can see their true intention, because God has gifted us with words of knowledge. He's given us words of wisdom. And then he gives us discerning of spirits. We discern whether a person is speaking motivated by the Spirit or by their own flesh, their own natural spirit. So that's why it's important to be spiritually switched on. I think one of the hardest things to work with is a person who has an anointing, operating in their anointing, but is not spiritually switched on. And they're walking half and half. They're walking in the Lord and in the world. their vision is natural and they've got a spiritual component they operate from. And they give words of knowledge, words of wisdom. They discern. Their discerning of spirits is so wibbly-wobbly that it makes it hard to work with them because they're giving you false readings all the time. They're prophesying into your life, God has told me this, God has told me that, and it's not necessarily true. The only way to fix those people is to get them praying in tongues. The problem with that is most of those people who are operating in their anointing or are partially operating in some spiritual anointing that they have from God are too proud to admit that they need to go back and start again and lay down a proper foundation. It's very hard because they are proud. Our pride can really do a lot of stuff to us. I mean, for a person who thinks they're spiritual to actually come to the conclusion that they're wibbly wobbly, that they're unstable in all their ways, is really hard for them to actually believe or to actually come to terms with, because it makes them look stupid when really a lot of people who walk in their anointing and are naturally thinking people, you know, they're captured by darkness. And, you know, it's hard for them to switch over. It takes a lot of effort. But, you know, God can do all things through the power of someone else. When I go up to somebody, I put my hands on them and I pray over them, and all of the stuff leaves them. And if they're willing to learn and they're not fools, they're not wanting to roll up the paper or the revelation that God has just given them and throw it in the bin, and they start seeking God, they become wise and they are set free from the captivity of the enemy. That's part of the job that Donna and I have, laying hands on people and getting them free, because we have a bigger punch than the enemy has with them. Because we sat down and prayed in tongues and God gave us ability and power. In Acts it says, Jesus said to his disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit and you will receive power, right? Dunamis power and ability, right? He talks about power and power. So ability, one of those Greek words means ability and the other one means dunamis power. So we have power to punch hard and we have ability to hit the target. That's what it's all about. Jesus wants us to go out with punch power, with dynamite power, and the ability to hit the target and not to misfire, not to overshoot or undershoot the target, to get it right. We have ability. When the enemy messes with us, we have the understanding to get out of trouble because we have ability, and we can use that dunamis power to punch back and the enemy steps back. That's how it works. But you won't get that unless you're transformed and let the Lord change you and sanctify your mind so that you're no longer thinking like a natural person with a spiritual attribute. You know, everybody wants to be a big man in spiritual attribute. Everybody wants to be the prophet. Everybody wants to be the wise man. Everybody wants to be the one who, come here, I'll lay hands on you and God will fix you up. That's wonderful. But to be obedient to God's will is even more wonderful, is even more important to God. You know, you can do all sorts of things, but if you're not obedient to God, to his will and purpose in your life, to his leading, then you're useless. You're just a guy with a massive big gun who's firing all over the place and doing a lot of damage. But if you are molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is guiding you and leading you, and then when you go to war on a situation, ability and power is supplied by the Holy Spirit, and you hit the target with great force, you see victory. Now, that whole statement there is encapsulated around a whole lot of stuff called the kingdom of God. There's angelic involvement. There's the Spirit of God. There's the operation of the Spirit. All of these things come into play in different amounts to get the victory in a certain situation. That's why it's dynamic and it's not static. Sometimes I'm on the street talking to somebody and all of a sudden the atmosphere just changes massively. And I look at them and I say, "Can you feel that?" And they go, "Yes." And I say, "God's turned up. His angels are here." And they know. They know something's going down. They know something spiritual is happening. And these people are not even filled with the Holy Ghost. They've still got a natural spirit to perceive certain things. And then I minister to them, and then things start happening. They start getting set free. And if I pray for them, they start speaking in tongues. And the eyes of their understanding are opening up. And then if they're obedient, then they get baptized. And they step into a place of operation, a place of authority. That's what happens when you're baptized. You know, when you open your eyes up spiritually, it's when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Your eyes are opened up. You perceive things. But when you get baptized, you're in a position of operation. You no longer are on the passenger side of a car. You're on the driver's side. You have the ability to do things. So you have the authority to do things by the baptism because you've moved from death, burial, and resurrection. And you have the spiritual capacity. Your eyes are opened up to see, to do things. That's how it works. It's really simple. And then the Holy Spirit directs you. That means being led by the Holy Spirit. And as you walk, everything comes into play dynamically through the influence of the kingdom of God. That's how it works. So that's part of what we do. We get people out the ditch. We get them on fire. We get them moving forward. We get them on a maintenance program with their life and their spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. And then we show them how to walk dynamically in the power of God and to affect other people's lives. That's what we do. We see, I go into churches and I go in there and I might pray for one or two people. They get healed. Someone gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And the enemy goes into red alert, grabs the oversight. They come and see me. "What are you doing here?" "Well, I'm just doing this. This is God's stuff." "Yeah, but who sanctioned that?" God. Yeah, but, you know, they'll say, "Yeah, but this is our church." "No, I thought it was Jesus' church." No, we're the control freaks. We're the door managers. unless you submit yourself to us fully, to our dead program, then you can't operate here. Okay, see you later. That's basically it. I would love to find a church that actually wanted to know God truly, instead of just a thin veneer or just smoke and mirrors. You know, they dance around, they sing, "We want revival." But you know, when revival comes or God sends one of his people to them, just like Jesus, they reject him. It shows who they truly are. You know, but these people, Jesus died for. So we have to wait for Jesus to empower us so that when we move in the future, we're going to do a great dismantling of all of their mechanisms. Everything's going to fall to the ground. They're going to be left with nothing. And we're going to come in and we're going to show them how to reassemble a functioning body of Christ or a church in that particular area. And then the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in that area with those people. And they're going to have a blessing in their life. They're going to have transformation. They're going to see revival, true revival. They sing about it all the time. I've seen lots of churches. We're singing about revival. We're talking about revival. We're even talking about speaking in tongues. But is anybody doing it? No, we're just speaking about it. We're talking about speaking in tongues. Yeah, are you actually doing it? Are you setting up a program where everybody gets together and prays in tongues? No, we're just talking about it. That's the way it works. If we actually started doing something, the enemy would jump on us so bad. That's the way it is. We'll leave it there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.